Men stood by their fences and looked at the ruined corn, drying fast now, only a little green showing through the film of dust. The men were silent, and they did not move often. And the women came out of the houses to stand beside their men, to feel whether this time the men would break. The women studied the men's faces secretly, for the corn could go as long as something else remained. The children stood nearby, drawing figures in the dust with bare toes, and the children sent exploring senses out to see whether men and women would break. John Steinbeck, The Grapes of Wrath. What I saw that December morning in 1941, what all of us survivors witnessed, was the stuff of nightmares. When the living go back to walk among the dead, even in memory, it comes at a price. Can I afford it? I wonder. Can I keep going back there, to that day, to those images? I wear to this day the physical scars from that attack, never letting me forget that terrible date. But, like the rest of those who survived that day, I have other wounds, ones that can't be covered up with slacks and long-sleeved shirts. Scars on a part of me no one can see. I wasn't always like that. I was once just a boy from Nebraska. I grew up the son of a cornhusker who lost all he had in the Dust Bowl and the Great Depression. He didn't have much, so he didn't have much to lose. But there were other, deeper losses he incurred, more devastating than the cost of anything material. His dreams, small as they were gone. Much of who he was and thought he might become crumbled. That agonizingly long decade was like a biblical plague of locusts that swarmed down on the small cornfield that was his life, stripping those things from him, from all of us. The 1,512 sailors on the Arizona came out of those years, along with all the other men who fought in World War II. The Depression was the forge that formed us. When the fight came to us, we were ready for it. Like steel coming out of the blast furnaces, shaped into girders, then dipped into vats of oil to temper them. There was a strength you couldn't see on the surface. Because of it, we were somehow able to bear the weight that a world at war placed on our shoulders. I didn't know I had it in me, some of the things the war brought out. I don't think any of us did. You never know the strength of steel until it's tested. Even so, we were so young, those of us who enlisted, 18, 19, 20 years old. Too young to go through what we endured that day, I can tell you that. If we were not quite men on December 6th, by mid-morning of the 7th, we were. This is my story. It's just one of thousands from those who shared that fateful day, and only one of hundreds of thousands from other sailors, soldiers, and airmen who joined the fight in the fateful days that followed. But it was mine to live, that story. And now I figure it is time to tell it. I was born July 14, 1922, to Robert J. Stratton and Jesse Ray Rutledge. We lived on a farm that wasn't ours, in a community that wasn't large enough to qualify as a town. Barely a dot in the middle of the Great Plains, Innavale, Nebraska was a crosshatch of dirt roads with a few tumble-down houses, none of which had electricity or running water. While those in big cities were experiencing the frothy excesses of the Roaring Twenties, we in rural America were working our fingers to the bone, eking out a living. That's what my father did. He was a sharecropper, finding whatever work he could to provide for his family. My mother bore him four children. I was the oldest. I shared a room with my two younger brothers, Daryl and William, while my sister Norma slept in my parents' bedroom. My parents worked from can to can't, fixing all six of our meals, washing all six of our clothes, mending and patching them, making do while somehow making a life for all six of us, and holding that life together.